You first met Brandon Robertson on this show in early 2014 when his insightful writing on the ongoing tensions between evangelicalism and the LGBT issues first came to our attention. And by the way, Brandon at that point was all of 21 years old. Brandon has been back with us a number of times since then as he labored to build what he called the revangelical movement, as he prepared to publish his first book, as he lost that book deal after coming out as gay, and now, with that book finally published and ambitious new projects underway, having just completed a speaking tour overseas. And so, Brandon, welcome back once again to State of Belief Radio.
It's so good to be with you, and thank you for all of your support over the years.
Well, thanks. First, let me wish you a happy birthday. I guess at the age of 24, it was high time for you to publish a memoir.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
This is an important and insightful book. Talk about how it finally came to be published and tell us how people can get a hold of it.
So after the book deal got canceled back in early 2015, I kind of decided that I was going to step back for a bit and not try to publish it right away. I was waiting for a few months and just started working on a new book project. And early on in the fall of 2015, I got an email from a British publisher, Darton Longman and Todd, who just said that they were really captivated by the book and really would love to try to bring it to audiences across the United Kingdom and Europe. And so I began having kind of tentative conversations, and it turns out that this publisher, Darton Longman Todd, is quite an amazing and bold voice within the Church of England and the Roman Catholic Church over in the United Kingdom. And we just had a really great relationship, and they've taken Nomad and brought it back to life. And I just got back from about a three-week tour across Ireland and the United Kingdom and just had the opportunity to really see how so much of what I wrote about in the book, about this spiritual journey of millennials to a place of spiritual but not religious, to a place of wandering, is really coming to light in their churches and in their denominations. And also how there's this growing force of inclusivity and welcome towards the LGBT community and broader communities as well. That's really happening both here in the United States and across the pond. And so I'm just so excited to have it finally out and into the world, and it's also available here in the United States on Amazon.com. So,
Brandon, for whom did you write this book? Who is the intended audience? What kind of person or people did you envision when writing it saying, I really want to get this across to this kind of person?
Right. There were two groups, as I wrote Nomad, that I really was writing to and focusing on. The first would be the conservative religious community, or even just religious leaders that are kind of bewildered by what's happening in their churches and in the pews, how young people are leaving at rapid numbers across most denominations. And many, I've had so many conversations with denominations and church leaders who are just unable to figure out what to do to kind of draw back in young people. And Nomad was written as a way of telling them, actually, maybe it's not about drawing back in young people, but maybe young people aren't becoming irreligious or anti-religion, but we're rediscovering a new way of being spiritual. And then the other group is for those who identify as wanderers. And initially, I would have said that was the millennial generation as a whole. But what I've really discovered in the past few years is that this is spans generations. This isn't just a young person thing. There is a real spiritual movement happening across generations where people are moving outside of the rigid confines of structures and systems and denominations and into a spirituality that's just more integrated into the rhythms of day-to-day life. And it was meant to kind of give voice to what many people are feeling inside but may not have heard articulated in a public way. Okay. And so it's for the nomads and for those who are trying to rein in the nomads, if you will.
You write about traveling light spiritually. What do you see as heavy travel to many of us? What weights us down?
Yeah. I think the easy things are the systems and structures of religion that have become so intertwined with power and privilege and wealth. This is very much part of religion here in the United States and in the United Kingdom, where there is this intertwining of religious leaders and political leaders and corporations, and it's made spirituality this whole thing that you have to buy into, this whole system you have to buy into, and if you are honest or have questions, you run into walls of people and doctrines and rules and regulations that say, if you think that way or if you step too far beyond this boundary, you'll be exiled, there will be hell to pay. And that is not what spirituality is about. As I write in the book, it's about a posture of humility and a posture of wonder. It's about not trying to conform to the image of a system, but rather the liberation that comes when we're able to simply be who we are and ask the questions that we truly have and seek out whatever we want to and continue the journey around every corner. I really think spirituality is about this liberation, and so much of what Christianity has become is buying into the system that you have to give your whole life to or not be a part of at all. And I think that's the heaviness of religion.
Why is it, in your opinion, why is it that we tend to turn toward the weight that slows us down rather than to the light travel that lets us rise and soar?
I think it's because when we are in the heavy system of religious structure, it's really comfortable. It's a wonderful position to know that you're right on everything, to know that you have the single absolute truth and everybody else is wrong. And especially in, again, the United States and the United Kingdom, Christians are in a position of privilege over society still to this day. And so it's really easy to stay within a system that privileges you over the rest of the society and culture. Mm-hmm. And that might sound a little cynical, and I don't think people are actually consciously buying into that way. But I think those are the underlying motivations, that we want to feel like we're part of a group. We want to feel like we're at home, that we're right, that everything's taken care of, and that we don't have to continually think critically. Instead, we'd like to rely on a book that we believe has all of the answers for all of the questions. Mm-hmm. I think for most people, that works for a season of life. But when your experience begins to contradict that which you believe, I think that's where it begins to fall apart for most people.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about institutional religion, especially in Christianity, we're talking about the church. Is the institutional rather than communal nature of the church, does that make getting to the light stuff more difficult?
I think in some ways it does. I think realistically the institution will always exist, and I think it can be very helpful. The institution can function well. But I do think more often than not, especially in our day and age, the institutions are too bogged down with all these different regulations and things that you have to do. I just spent some time with a number of people in the Church of Ireland, and we were just talking about the ways that all of the regulations and systems and hierarchies of the institution, what they require of their members and of their clergy, really constrains them from being allowed to explore, being allowed to be authentic with their spirituality. And I think if institutions are going to survive and thrive, they're really going to have to loosen up a lot of these things that have created this heaviness within them and try to find new ways of allowing people to be free in their expression, whatever that looks like.
Brendan, what did the people in the United Kingdom, the publishers in the United Kingdom, what did they see in your manuscript that really did attract them and make them want to publish the book?
Yeah, I think what they really saw is that Nomad is, I worked really hard to make it very relatable, and I do think that even though as a young person, I'm only 24, I do think, however, a lot of the lessons really do tap into and hit the nerve of what's happening in, I think, global spirituality today. I think, as one of my mentors, who I dedicated the book to, Phyllis Tickle, always talked about, we're coming up on kind of a revolution that happens every 500 years, except this goes beyond Christianity. It's a global spiritual revolution that's affecting all religions. Mm-hmm. And I think Nomad just begins to touch and explain a little bit of what's happening. And it doesn't really give a vision for what the future is going to look like. I don't presume to know that. Mm-hmm. But it does kind of put into words what's happening in the hearts and souls of a lot of different people. And I think that's what compelled Darton Longman and Todd to publish it. Also the fact that they are really trying to work hard to bring reform in their own religious structure mm-hmm. within the Church of England and the Roman Catholic Church. And so I think they were trying to be a little angsty with mm-hmm. Publishing it as well and lighting a little fire within their own tradition.
I'm curious, in your engagements, interactions with people during your travels, are people in that land or in those places, are they seeing the LGBT issues as a spiritual concern, or are they seeing it more as a cultural, social concern?
I think it's a little bit of both, and it really depended on where I was at in the United Kingdom. For instance, I spent some time in Northern Ireland and meeting with the religious leaders there, and Northern Ireland was much like the Southern United States as far as how they were engaging with the LGBT issue, and just religious leaders are timid and afraid to speak out because of what their denominations will do to them. But in so many other places around the United Kingdom and Ireland, I really found that the churches and religious institutions were largely, had already passed all the questions about civil rights, and we're now seeing this as a spiritual kind of pastoral issue, that this community of people have been harmed and rejected by the church for so long, and they're really seeking how to bring healing and also how to ensure that the gates of the church remain fully open to all people. And so I think in some regards, parts of the United Kingdom and Ireland are where we are in the United States, a bit mm-hmm. behind on this, and other parts are a few years ahead and are really beginning, just as a whole, even more conservative religious leaders are really interested in the pastoral question and realizing how harmful some of their teaching is to the actual lives of LGBT people.
Well, that's really that's a hopeful observation from my perspective, because, as you well know, there's this stereotype that in the United Kingdom that religion is on its way out and doesn't have that much influence. But what you've said is extremely important and bodes well for what's happening in the United States. One other question about your travels: what did you find particularly memorable about this trip? When you think about it, what's going to come to mind first?
I really think the thing that was most memorable and the most refreshing thing was that for a long time I've kind of projected that the same sorts of movements that are happening here that I attribute to the Holy Spirit moving in the United States in certain ways are happening across the pond, and mm-hmm. people all across the UK and Ireland, there's this really prevalent spiritual hunger, not only among the religious people that I was with, but at a number of my events, people that had left the church and were really resentful towards the church came, and during Q&A would be so tearful because they would say for the first time they're hearing an articulation of Christianity and spirituality that they could come back to. There's truly a hunger for a spiritual awakening, to be connected to God and connected to all people. And so, like you were just saying, the UK isn't this kind of desolate, dry, atheistic, secular land. It's actually a place where people are deeply spiritual and are really trying to find a new way to express that spirituality. And I think that was so hopeful, and I really feel like we have great partners in the United Kingdom and Ireland that we in the United States need to do better at connecting with and working together with.
Brandon, you've launched a new nonprofit called Nomad Partnerships. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Nomad Partnerships is a new nonprofit that really does two things. One, we work here in the United States to kind of elevate some of the abuses that conservative Christian denominations and organizations do towards sexual and gender minorities. And so, for instance, we hosted a conference in Denver just a few months ago called Our Witness in response to the Q Conference, which was an evangelical event that spoke about LGBT issues, but from a very conservative perspective and without actual LGBT people there. And Our Witness, we elevated the voices of 11 nationally known LGBT Christians that shared their stories in response to the Q Conference. And then the other side is we're starting to move international to work with religious leaders in places like Malawi and the Congo and in the United Kingdom to partner together and figure out how we continue to help this ball move forward of reformation, both politically for the civil rights of all people and within the church. And so over in the next 6 months or so, we'll be launching programs around the world and meeting with leaders from around the world to figure out how to help combat anti-LGBT legislation and foster inclusivity within the church.
And tell our listeners how they can keep up with you and get more information about Nomad Partnerships.
I think the easiest way is just to go to nomadpartnerships.org, and from there you can link to my personal website and learn more about what we're doing as an organization.
Brandon Robertson is a young LGBT evangelical activist. His book is titled Nomad, A Spirituality for Traveling Light. Brandon is the founder of Nomad Partnerships, and you can find out more about that at nomadpartnerships.org. Brandon, you're doing such important work. It's good to hear the optimism in your voice. It's good to know about what you're developing. It's good to know about the kind of affirmation you're getting. And I want to thank you for being with us again on State of Belief Radio, and I hope you know that you're welcome back here, and we'll be trying to get you back here on a regular basis.
Well, thank you so much, Walton. I just want to say I appreciate State of Belief and all that you're doing in the world so much. So thanks so much.